Good afternoon and welcome to Light in the Darkness. My name is Red Mark. Well, it's time for a commentary, and this one's entitled, Wake Up, Wake Up. Dated the 7th day of July of the year 2017. During a TV advertisement from the not-too-distant past, a guy named Tom Peterson, in an attempt to sell his wares, banged on a window pane and yelled, Wake up, wake up. Reminds me of myself and a few others who are doing the exact same thing by shouting from the rooftops the warnings of impending prophetic fulfillment to a sleeping and dying world. You know, Matthew 24, verses 10 and 11 says this, At that time many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Here I go again quoting from Matthew 24, but to me, it is one of the most descriptive writings of biblical scripture when it comes to defining the times we are living in, not to mention that it consists of direct quotes from Jesus Christ himself. You can also look to Mark 13 and Luke 21 for his teachings. Great stuff. Now let me start by talking about those who are turning their backs on their faith. You know, to have peaks and valleys is one thing, or dry spells as we refer to them. But to turn away from our faith is quite another matter. How can this happen? What could cause people to turn their backs on such a wonderful Savior? Well, let's look for a moment at just some of the reasons why this can and will, as Jesus says, take place in these increasingly last difficult times. Now, I believe it starts with the foundation built either upon rock or sand. Matthew 24, verses 24 through 27 states this, Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on a rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. We've already witnessed what has happened in Europe, haven't we? Church attendance is down to less than 5% of the population in most all places. People have simply walked away from their faith because of the church has stopped providing the foundational truths of Christ's teachings. They've become complacent and lukewarm, and as a result, they're suffering a spiritual death. Now, can this happen in America? You bet it can, and it is. I remember back when I went to church as a young boy, I never heard anything about the third part of the Godhead, which, of course, is the Holy Spirit. He was put on the shelf because of his controversial aspects. As a matter of fact, all I really needed to do back then was just say that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and that was enough. I then received my get-out-of-hell-free card and went on my merry, sinful, and hypocritical way. I believe they called it eternal security. So what about today's young people? These statistics I'm about to share may shock you, but here they are. Less than 3% of today's millennial generation, that's kids or young people, I should say, between 18 and 35 in America, has a biblical worldview. That's less than 3%. Worse, of just this one group, ages 18 through 23, have less than a 1% of biblical overview. Wow. These astonishing numbers are put forth from the highly respected Barna Group. A biblical worldview as defined by this Barna study is this, and I quote, Believing that absolute moral truth exists, the Bible is completely accurate in all of its principles it teaches. Satan is considered to be real. He's a real being of force, not simply symbolic. Jesus Christ lived a sinless life on earth, and God is the all-knowing, all-powerful creator of the world who still rules the universe today. George Barna, who directed the research, commented on the troubling generational pattern that suggests this. And I quote George, Parents are not focused on guiding their children to have biblical worldviews. And he goes on to say, But one of the challenges for parents, though, is that you cannot give what you do not have. Now, the research goes on to show that less than 10% of these parents have this biblical worldview. Okay, enough about the kids and their parents. What about the churches they've either been or quit attending? Isn't this the true purpose of the mission of the church? To teach the fundamentals or worldview of our faith? I notice crosses out in front of all of them. I wonder how many of us really realize the full meaning of that real cross. You know, Warren Cole Smith, an evangelical journalist and author of A Lover's Quarrel with the Evangelical Church, said that most mainstream churches have lost their way. And I agree. I say amen. Instead of sticking with core biblical principles, they promise feel-goodism, technological fads, and church's entertainment. And he goes on to say, for the sake of money and power and status and celebrity, we've made church easy. I believe he is very accurate in his statement. And just in the past few years, I've personally experienced this in many, many instances. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 says, for a time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myth. Wow. You know, for different reasons, Christians of various sorts have tinkered with the gospel of Christ as though it needs adjustments. No major alterations, I might say. Most will tell us that. But just some minor tweaking here and there. And these changes often begin by their declaring that there are no real changes involved, simply a shift in emphasis. Now, the following are just a couple of examples of this. Brian McLaren, an emerging church leader, describes the future way of life for the Christian. And in a recent interview with Christian Post, he said this, and I quote, I think our future will also require us to humbly and charitably join together with people of other faiths, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Jewish, secularists, and others, in pursuit of peace, environmental stewardship, and justice for all people, things that matter greatly into the heart of God, end quote. Terry Neal, a faith reporter for the Hamilton Spectator, said this, and I quote, we need faith, but the faiths of our fathers are tired now, or spent forces. We must recognize this whether we are Muslim, Sikhs, Jews, or Christians. We are now a global village, and only a global worldview will suffice. Man. And, of course, there are hundreds and hundreds more, maybe less subtle, but just more obvious. And sadly, these are the folks our young people and most of the people are listening to today. So we can see how easy it is for people to turn their backs on their faith in these days. They have no foundation with which to weather the ever-increasing spiritual storms leading to our Lord's second coming, which is very, very soon. You know, the teachings of Matthew 24 go on to say, this couple of verses. Verse 10 says, at that time many will turn away from the truth and will betray and hate each other. Verse 12 goes on, because of the increase in wickedness, the loves of most will grow cold. Wow, pretty powerful. Sadly powerful. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 really sums up these times we are living in perfectly by saying this. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, and having a form of godliness but denying its power. Pretty sums it up really clearly, sadly. Now, I challenge each of you to read these passages carefully, by yourselves, quietly, and completely and prayerfully. Then I challenge each of us to go out to our church bodies and ask the tough questions. Are our youth getting the fundamentals of our faith? Are we, the adult body, being given the food to strengthen our foundations for these perilous times? Or are we getting entertained, followed up by ear candy? If that is the case, and you know it, and you can't change it, then flee. Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 32, 33, and 34, that we will know the season of his return. And I quote, now learn this from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and the leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass until all these things have happened. And this is exactly what's going on. We are seeing it all come right before our very eyes. I believe with all my heart that we are that generation. Finally, Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22, Jesus tells us about the condition of the last seventh church being lukewarm. And he said this in verse 15, "I will spit you out of my mouth." Wow. As I mentioned earlier in this commentary, as a young man, I was never exposed to the true power of God through the Holy Spirit. I praise and thank God that I witnessed this in my life now. And because of this blessing, I know that I can now weather these coming storms. My foundation is now built upon solid rock. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14 says this, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is a road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few will find it." Remember, we are the light of the world in these last and dark times. May our light shine bright on as many as possible while there's still time. Let's make that every attempt to help widen that narrow road while we can. So until next time, this is Rhett.